Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you very much. Great job. Thank you very much. And that's the work, isn't it? It's understanding. It's moving into that expansive place of understanding rather than judging and seeing through the eyes of perception. And we're going to look at this in terms of the metaphor of the mirror, because the mirror is a very interesting thing, both physically and metaphysically, both as an object in the universe, a mirror, but also what a mirror represents, what its metaphorical meaning is, because almost everything we see is a mirror when you think about it, the reflection of various aspects of the universe of ourselves. So the title is Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. What do you see when you look in the mirror? It's an interesting question, isn't it? Because we never fully see ourselves, do we? We only see the reflection. And interesting that God would create us like that, that we can see other people, but we can never see our own faces. Yeah? That tells you something. Maybe we're not quite as important as we think we are then. Is that part of it? I don't know. We can never actually see. Because when you look at a mirror, you see the reverse image and a reflection. So you don't see yourself as you probably truly are, which is kind of interesting. So where did mirrors come from? Well, the first mirror, I guess, was water. You know, back in history, somebody must have looked down and, whoa, look at that. That's interesting. We saw ourselves in a pond or in a pool of water. And then later on, when we started to delve into the ground and create iron from iron ore, then, you know, we would polish that iron and be able to see in a metal mirror, in that reflection. So that's the second kind of mirror that exists. And then a little later on in history, we discovered this idea of glass and putting the back to it so that we could actually have a mirror as we know it today. And then there's these magical mirrors of today that reach out into the future, you know, these huge telescopes that tell us so much about our universe. So again, different forms of reflecting reality, yes? And reality depends on not so much what's in the mirror, but what we bring to the mirror, right? What our perceptions? Because let's ask the question again, what do you see when you look in the mirror? Sometimes you are in admiration of yourself, right? And sometimes you loathe yourself. Have you been in those places? Sometimes early in the morning, looking in the mirror, it's not a good thing to do, is it? It's a bit loathsome sometimes. But after we've got ourselves together and we're feeling a little more cocky, then we can look again. Not bad. Kind of like it. I've been to both places, usually on a daily basis. But sometimes we have a mask of feeling good about ourselves, of putting on that persona as a mask to the loathsome parts of ourselves. You know, we're overly full of ourselves, full of our egos, because we're protecting ourselves from those darker parts that we don't like. Narcissus, in Greek myth, looked into the water and fell in love with himself, right? And so we got the modern word narcissistic, falling in love with that idea of oneself. Is it reality? No, it's an idea of ourselves. And all of us must go on that journey to letting go of that narcissistic way where we think the whole universe is all about us. My sister died when I was 7 years old. She was five. I've shared this story before. And as a result of that, I think my mother overcompensated with me, you know. So throughout my youth and adolescence, I was a little bit smothered. Let's put it like that. There was a little bit too much emphasis on the surviving child. And that's a natural thing. See how that would happen. But it was a wonderful thing, but a terrible thing at the same time, because she told me that I was wonderful and everything I did was magnificent. And it's great to be encouraged in that way. But comes a time when you realize, and there's usually lots of people around you that will tell you that you ain't that so magnificent, man. Wake up. And that moment of reckoning, that moment of awakening is very, very, it breaks you open, doesn't it? And it seems devastating at the time, you know. Mom let me down. She told me I was something I'm really not. You know? But the thing is, that was a great awakening, because the thing is, we are neither loathsome or admirable, right? Those are the projections that we put on ourselves. Who is seeing that? There is something that sees us when we think we're loathsome, and there is something that sees us when we think we're great. And it's not involved with being good or bad. It's the sense of the presence, the witness, the Christ is looking with deeper eyes, right? Not being fooled by appearances. What's that phrase? It's all done by mirrors, right? Smoke and mirrors, all done by mirrors. But when we see with the eyes of the Christ, when we come to the center of ourselves, to the witness, we are no longer fooled, right? It's not important anymore. I have a greater understanding, so I don't have to be loathsome or admirable. I don't have to be pleasing you all the time. Neither do I have to be beaten up on myself. I am centered and poised in a greater spirit of truth. It's very freeing, yeah? Very freeing to see that, oh, those are just games of the mirror, but the reality is much more beautiful and profound than that. That's the first thing. Second huge thing we do is this whole thing of projection, right? Because the universe faithfully reflects back to us what we put out there, but we put out there thinking the things that we think are the truth, right? So we project all the stuff that's in us out there, thinking it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to someone else. But the universe will faithfully reflect it back to us because the universe is a faithful mirror. This is why we should always put three little words at the end of any statement we make, okay? Gonna join me in this? And the three little words are just like me, right? So if you were judging someone and say, what a freaking idiot, just like me, because I would not see that person as an idiot unless there was an idiot in me that recognized the idiot in you. So just like me. Now the opposite is true. Man, you look beautiful just like me. See? Because the universe will faithfully mirror back to us where we are in consciousness. So which is preferable? You're an idiot just like me, or you're beautiful just like me? It's better to magnify the good, right? Because you get back what you're putting out there, because it really is nothing about the universe. It's all about you. When we are right with ourselves, when we are neither filled with loathsomeness and self-hatred or self-aggrandizement, but we're centered, then we begin to see the magnificence all around us, yeah? You cannot help but mirror this beauty and abundance when you see nature in spring, because it is mirroring such abundance. And when I'm coming at it from a sense of thankfulness and open-heartedness, man, I enjoy the birds and the plants. I mean, my azalea bush, you cannot see any green on it. It is one big flower. It's just magnificent. And then on my honeysuckle, the hummingbirds are coming, my first sighting this year. And it's magnificent, you know, because I am open and receptive from the heart of me to see this beauty. And I recognize this isn't out there somewhere. That beauty is in me. It is God. I am of God. It's part of God's universe, and I live and move and have my being, as St. Paul said, in God's universe, yes? But if I can only see misery around me and life is awful and I've been tuning in too much to certain TV channels, then I don't even notice the honeysuckle or the hummingbirds. In fact, they're stupid and unimportant compared to the real nasty things that are going on. But I suggest a hummingbird is equally as important as a TV news anchor, yeah? Because it represents joy and beauty, and the more I focus on that, the more my world is gonna change. But if I'm disempowered by listening to projections in a TV or whatever else the media is, I'm disempowering myself, I'm cutting myself off from my truth. I am letting myself be overly influenced by those smoke and mirrors. St. Paul, 1 Corinthians 13, famous chapter on love. This is the Revised English Bible version. We're familiar with King James because it says, now I see in a glass darkly, which is okay, but what's that mean? This one spells it out. It says, at present we see only puzzling reflections in a mirror. Interesting. but one day we shall see face to face. Well, when do we see face to face? When we can be present to what is, when we can be okay with ourselves, when we can recognize that I have a beauty within me, the Christ presence, the witness within me that sees without loathing or admiring, just sees, is open and receptive to the larger view, right? At present, we see only puzzling reflections in the mirror of our perceptions and our projections. But one day, when we're willing to be present, we shall see face to face. Beautiful idea. And when is this one day? It's always now, isn't it? I have the opportunity to be in this place right now. So when I can clear my ego and my projections out of the way, see, the mirror begins to reflect the truth, right? Mirror, mirror on the wall, help me. Who's the fairest of them all, right? That was the evil queen talking to the mirror and the mirror responding, because that mirror is the mirror of truth and will always give us the truth back. Because the mirror of the God's universe is always wanting to speak to us, but cannot speak to us if we're projecting stuff onto it or enamored with our own misery or magnificence, right? It's when we are centered and poised in our truth that we see the truth mirrored in the universe. Now, everything was cool, wasn't it, for the first so many years, because every time the queen went to the mirror, it would say, you're the hottest chick on the planet. But, or words to that effect, right? But then when Snow White was like 7 years old, the mirror had new information and said, well, you're still pretty good for your age. But there's one young lady that has taken the prize. Yeah, she's bested you this time. And of course now, if we were just centered and poised in our truth, we could say, well, yes, there's always going to be someone better than me. There's always going to be someone lesser. This is not important. I'm not comparing. I'm understanding the truth, that I'm fine as me, and I'm actually celebrating that there can be other beautiful people in the world, right? I'm not threatened by them. Not so with the evil queen. Her ego was still there, and so she began to be resentful and wanted to kill out that beauty. We don't want to do that. We want to have understanding that embraces all, right? That I can celebrate somebody else's success and also welcome and be loving when there's somebody else's failure and grief. It's a great line. What is it? Be gentle. Everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. Be gentle, because everyone you meet is fighting a great battle, including ourselves. And that battle is to deal with all this nonsense within our being, isn't it? To come to terms with it so that I can arise into my true nature, which is joyous and free. Hey, listen to St. Paul again. And I never really had read this that clearly until now. This is from 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beautiful words, very metaphysical, very unity. He says, and because for us there is no veil over the face, there's no projection, there's no smoke and mirrors, I'm seeing clearly, because for us there is no veil over the face, we all see, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Wow! Isn't that exactly what we're talking about? Because for us there is no veil over the face. We're not being fooled by appearances anymore, by our preferences. We're simply present to whatever is going on. As in a mirror, we see the glory of the Lord. We begin to see the magnificence of the universe everywhere we go. Yeah? And we enjoy it and we exult in it. And it's not just about me and how enlightened I am. It's about how available I am to enjoy and celebrate you. Yeah? And it goes on. And we are being transformed into this his likeness with ever-increasing glory. I can get excited about that one. We are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory when we're willing to show up full-on just as we are, right? That's the beauty of it. Then the universe reflects back the magnificence of us all. Isn't this what Jesus did? He wasn't fooled. He didn't want to jump off tall buildings and turn stones into bread. He wasn't fooled by all those appearances about aggrandize yourself, be a cool dude. No, I don't care about those. I just want to be centered in spirit so that I can be transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. The Father and I are one in truth. I want to end by quoting from the Tao Te Ching, great Chinese book of wisdom, which tells us very similar things. This is chapter 47. This was written like 500 BC, 500 years before the life of Jesus, but has great wisdom that I think bears on what we're talking about. Because so often we think our good is where? Outside of ourselves, right? We're projecting it out there. So if I could only find it out there. The truth is your good is always in here, right? And when you find it in here, when you come to this yourself, like the prodigal son did, he came to himself, and then his journey began back home to his good. When you've come to it inside of yourself, then you begin to see it mirrored everywhere. Then you are like a flower that's opening, and when the flower opens, what comes? The hummingbirds and the bees, right? That which is going to be fruitful and make honey in your life, right? When we open to that in that way. So the Tao says, without going out of your door, you can know the ways of the world. Don't go rushing around trying to find it out there. Without peeping through your window, you could see the way of heaven. The further we go, the less we know. Thus, the sage knows without traveling, sees without looking, and achieves without much ado. That doesn't mean don't go on trips. You know, if you want to go to Cancun, you can go to Cancun. I've traveled the world. I love traveling. But the point is, don't think that it's all out there, you know? Because the more I've traveled, the more I realize, wow, we're all the same. The same things that inspire us, the same things that terrify us. We're all one. And when I come home to that realization, then no one's an enemy anymore, right? Everyone's a friend. Everything that happens is an opportunity for greater understanding, for greater joy, for greater possibility. So mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest one of all? The Christ within each of us. That's who. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you, divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.